الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم. I'm your host Nabil Awan. This is a topical discussion program that addresses the issues that matter to you. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you to the new dawn. Last week we advertised the topic of modernity versus ijtihad. Unfortunately, our guest fell ill, so couldn't attend. We pray for his quick recovery. As a result, we have selected a topic that carries on from our last two shows, talking about our involvement in society. Today's topic is about the future of the Muslim communities and, by extension, the future of Islam within the West. It is entitled, The Ummah Needs You. We have with us in the studio two brothers, Mazahir Karim and Muhammad Asariya. They are both members of the Behlul Society of Leicester, a youth group based in the East Midlands. We thank you guys for coming and joining us here today. Hope you had a pleasant journey up.
Yeah, it was pleasant. Got lost a couple of times, but we made it in the end, alhamdulillah.
Excellent.
Alhamdulillah, yeah, we got here nice on time as well, so alhamdulillah, it was good.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. No, it's our pleasure for you accepting our invitation.
Thank you.
Right, let me just... start off, obviously, you know, over our previous weeks we've been talking about our interaction with society and obviously you as youth members of a youth group and youth leaders to some extent are at the forefront of this. Before we actually get into the actual debate of talking about activism and helping the Ummah, could you tell us a little bit about the Behlul Society, Brother Mazahir?
Yeah, basically, the Behlul Society was formed in 2002 in Leicester, and it has been going ever since. And alhamdulillah, over the past few years, it has been very active in promoting Islam and organising events for the youth, as well as the general community around UK.
Okay. So, what was your inspiration for joining? You know, obviously, you never joined right from the start. You're someone who's joined later on. I mean, what really inspired you to join?
Well, basically, when I was younger, when the society actually was started, I used to attend the events myself, and seeing the sort of work they were doing, and it used to inspire me to carry on with that as I got older, and I wanted to be more involved with that with time and carry on what they had started back in 2002, and just to improve that and do the best we can for our community.
Okay. Now, I want to turn my attention to you, Brother Muhammad, if I may. I know you're not actually a resident of Leicester. However, yeah, you were just a student at university there. Yeah. So how did you become involved with the Behlul Society?
When I came to Leicester from London, I was at university, and myself and a group of a couple of other brothers from the local mosque, we got involved and we did Ahlul Bayt Society there. And from there on in, it was a good chance for me to meet other brothers from the mosque. And then the more I started seeing the work that these brothers are doing in the way that they're trying to help their youth and their community in such a way, it actually inspired me to try and be a bit more enthusiastic, try and volunteer a bit more and help out a little bit more, get involved and just get involved and see what they're doing and try and help out.
Right. I want to carry the discussion on about university life, just specifically on that, because you've had it, the experience of it, and you know, and you were still involved with the Behlul Society and the Ahlul Bayt Society, as you said. University is a time where you can actually go astray very easily, and you know, and many people do. Obviously, yeah. Alhamdulillah, many people don't. But from your personal experience, What helped you maintain your strong faith, and then which eventually led to you forming the Ahlul Bayt Society and joining Bahlul?
I think it's like anything, it's the people that you're surrounded with. I think, you know, some people say it's your family as well, how much impact your family have. But I think when you get to university, especially, you know, if you go out, if you move from one city to another, or even if you're in the same city, I think it has a lot to do with the friends that you make and the people that you surround yourself with. Okay. And fortunately, you know, for me, the more I got involved with the Bahlul Society and the Ahlul Bayt Society, you surround yourself with good people, and then, you know, you just go from there. I think that's important when you go to university.
So having a good circle of friends.
Just a good circle of friends, yeah, when you're at university or any form of life, whether you're working even, you know, it's just the people. You have to surround yourself with the right type of people that, you know, you think are going to be helpful people, good people, and then just help each other.
All right. Excellent. Returning back to our topic, Brother Muzahid, how did you actually get involved? I mean, you know, a lot of people go to centres, they're regulars at the mosque, and maybe they may help with the car parking, or they may help with serving food and volunteering in other ways. But how did you actually get involved in the actual youth committee and helping the youth and, you know, bettering them?
Well, basically, from my own experience, as I was talking about earlier, where I used to attend the events myself, and in 2007, I joined the committee as a committee member, where I was taking active part in the events that would be organised at that time. And from then, I still wanted to further that from what I learned the previous year, in order to implement that into organising further events and taking different avenues with regards to promoting Islam and keeping in touch with our youth and our community. So from 2007, I joined as a committee member, and then pursued that on after the new year had begun. And it's been going since then, basically.
Okay, excellent. So what advice would you give to those people that are, you know, maybe they're helping in the car parking, they're clearing up, you know, the young people.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the adults as much, but the young people, they really want to do something. You know, what advice would you give them? How can they get involved in something like this?
Well, basically, I mean, we're all very approachable in Leicester, and with our community and our committee as well as such. So if there's any youths that like to get involved, we do encourage them from a very young age to take part in our events and to help us out. And we also fully support them if they'd like to pursue something within the committee, or if they'd like to organise something, we support them in doing that. And the support's always there for anyone who wishes to get involved. And we do constantly encourage the younger people of our community to do so.
Okay. Brother Muhammad, just the same question again. Yeah. moving away from Bahlul Society and Leicester, someone who's lived in two communities, when a youth really wants to help, and all they think they can help by is doing volunteering, you know, how can they, you know, what method can they use in order to form a youth body, a youth committee, you know, to empower the youth?
Even helping in a small way, like, you know, giving out a tea or helping in a car park, it seems like a small thing, but actually it's quite helpful, because, you know, even the jobs like that, if no one does it, then it doesn't get done as well. So that's an important thing, that, you know, it's still important to do those jobs. And if you want to help out in setting up a committee or something like Behlul or whatever it is, just, you know, get a group of people who are like-minded, who are enthusiastic, and, you know, you get an idea together and just go with the idea. And, you know, sometimes it's going to be difficult, even at Behlul, sometimes when we make events, you know, it's not just straightforward as in, here's a plan, there we go, you know. You plan things and then, you know, you change it, whatever, and sometimes you get obstacles you have to overcome. So it's not so easy and straightforward, as long as you understand that sometimes, you know, you will get difficulties. As long as you're willing to work harder as a group to overcome those difficulties, then, you know, should be hopefully, inshallah, a good success.
I want to focus on those difficulties, that you said, because my next question is actually based on that. And I want to, you know, give that question to you, because you've worked with the Ahlul Bayt Society, you've worked with Bahlul Society,
right, yeah.
And you know, inevitably conflicts always arise within a group, within a committee.
Yeah.
You know, there's always a conflict, setbacks, both internal from within and external from outside sources. You know, how do you deal with that situation?
Conflict, you know, conflict can be something like a difference of opinion, for example. We may plan to do something, you may have one idea of how you want to do it, I may have a different idea. Who's to say exactly who's right, who's wrong? You know, a difference of opinion can be a good thing in the sense that it can help improve everything. You know, having a different idea to what you're doing could actually help to improve what you're doing. Sometimes someone might point something out that you may not have been, you may be focused in such a way. You may have missed something out. Someone may have a difference of opinion, point that out to you. You know, helps improve the overall flow of things as well. As, you know, and with difference of opinion, it's good to accept that if someone comes to you and says, you know, even criticism, for example, that maybe you're not doing this right, or you're not, you know, I'd like to see something change, for example. Yeah. As long as it's, you know, as long as it's not, as long as it's constructive criticism and it's put the right way, you know, then you can look into it, and again, it can help you to improve the product, like what you're trying to do. It can help in a big way. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're all trying to work for Allah and do our best in it. So the vision, whichever way you look at it, the end product's always trying to be the same thing. You know, we're all trying to do our best. So,
Brother Mazahid.
Yeah, I'm like, he's Brother Muhammad's hit the nail on the head, really. But I think if we take these sort of matters as a constructive feedback, that will help us in future as well. If we've got any sort of matters at hand, we can deal with it between ourselves in order to make sure that we get it right.
Okay. In your teams, you know, sometimes inevitably people start to lose motivation.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of the year, everyone's full of motivation and everyone wants to do all these events. And then as we get further on throughout the year, slowly but surely things start to fade. You know, people start to waft away from the committee, not attending committee meetings, not getting involved as much, disagree. You know, it can be a variety of things. How do you keep the motivation within your team?
Well, basically, I look back at our previous events and make sure that people realise that the sort of job we're doing and the benefits people are getting from that, and that normally tends to motivate myself. And to motivate the rest of the committee, is by reminding them of the previous successes we've had. And we always look to better ourselves with our next one. We always try to lead by example that, you know, we've done such a great job before. Well, I hope we have, but you know, we want to carry that on and do even better for the next one. So that sort of keeps us motivated to bring in new ideas, be more innovative for the future. So that normally tends to keep everybody in the committee motivated to get involved and try and make a difference from the last one.
And I'm just going to say, to add to what Brother Mazar is saying, we're very fortunate in the way that the elders in the community as well, you know, they're very helpful, aren't they?
Yeah, they're very supportive of the Velo Society in Leicester, and they do tend to offer us positive feedback and always help us out, tell us how we're doing and things. So that gives us good motivation as well to see that it's working.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the elders and how they can, you know, help, and support of the elders is such a crucial thing.
Mm-hmm.
What advice would you give those youth out there that are not receiving that same amount of support from their elders of the community, saying, you know, you don't need a youth committee, do it our way? How should they approach the situation, as it were?
That's a difficult one, because obviously every community, every committee will have its own advantages and disadvantages, its own situations. But at the end of the day, what you got to try and say is that with a lot of these youth groups, what is just naturally trying to do is just trying to say to the people of this generation who've grown up in this country, you know, that there's a lot of difficulties out there, but we try and get through it together. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of the events as well, non-Muslims as well, sometimes come, you know, and so it's open, it opens the door as well, if you see.
Okay, that point on the non-Muslims.
Yeah.
Brother Mazahid, could you just elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I was just going to carry on from what Brother Muhammad was saying. Basically, we've done events in the past where we've invited people outside of Shia Islam, outside of Islam as a total. We've had the speakers that have been multi-faith speakers as well, so that gives different opinions on the same sort of topic, for example, and that's always been a good success. But you know, it creates a unity as well by having a youth group within your community, because all the youths feel united, they can do things together, which normally you won't. For example, if you have a youth group, you can organize a social event, which you probably won't be able to do with the older community. So it creates a good unity. And also when we have people from outside communities coming into our centers for our events, they tend to take something positive away. It sets off a spark for these people as well, which is interesting, because they ask us questions, we can answer questions and ask them questions. So it creates a good bond between the interfaith community as well.
Okay, excellent.
And no, yeah, I just think to add to the question that you asked me, it's like what you were saying before, it's a conflict of interest. You saying that we want a youth group, and some other people saying that, well, no, maybe we don't need a youth group. But then, like I said again, you know, more the difference of opinion. Maybe they're having a vision. It's not to say that they're wrong. I mean, maybe, but you're just adding your own perspective to maybe, you know, they're not addressing the youths in such a way. So all you're saying is, hold on, look at it from here. You know,
okay,
just
so
add something.
Go towards them in a way which is
with the
nice,
respectful way.
Respectful
of course,
way.
It's important to be like that.
Say, look, you've done your bit for our community, and alhamdulillah,
yeah,
it's brought us to this point.
Because, you know, if you want to add something, there has to be something there in the first place. So obviously,
yeah,
they're doing a great job in the first place. Not to say that, you know, they're not doing a great job. It's just that you wanna make it. You just wanna add a little bit. You think you can, so you know, try and add to it if you can.
Right. Great. Well, we're now just going to cut to a nasheed,
right,
and have a small break. This nasheed is called Allahu Akbar. It's by a group called On The D. This video has been made exclusively for the New Dawn and you, the viewers at home. So we hope you enjoy it.
Keep us away from temptation, the Satan, the Shaitan, the main harm to weak individuals. Now who's getting spiritual? It's pitiful that we're heedless, we're headless. Let's stop this and get blessed and rest up. Final days are due, long time. It's about time we make time, create rhymes to change minds. At least that's the premise. Like Jesus before us, he gave us the message, taught man forgiveness, and ended up vanished like the 12th of the princes, risen up high, away from the menaces, free from all blemishes. We pray to God that his chosen shall come. Ajal Allah ta'ala faraj.
Allahu Akbar.
You feel the pain.
Allahu Akbar.
Enter the rain.
Allahu Akbar.
When times are hard.
Allahu Akbar.
It's time to heal these scars.
Allahu Akbar.
So now my mind is free.
Allahu Akbar.
I see all this beauty.
Allahu Akbar.
I submit to you.
Allahu Akbar.
I won't submit to me.
Thank you.
Welcome back. That was an exclusive nasheed produced for the New Dawn by On The D. It's not available to buy just yet, but will be later on towards winter time. But don't worry, we'll have more from On The D throughout the series. With me in the studio, I have Brother Muhammad Asariya and Brother Mazahir Karim from the Behlul Society. Guys, I just want to carry on the discussion a little bit onto the events and things that you organise. But before I do that, Muhammad, I really want to ask you about the ABSOC and the organisation of an Ahlul Bayt society. There's someone out there who wants to form, not necessarily an Ahlul Bayt society, they may want to form an Islamic society. Yeah. You know, there may be a university that doesn't have one. What procedure did you have to go through at your university, and was it hard? Did you face any problems forming it?
Like I said, I mean, first, you know, if there is an Islamic society, then if you can try and see what they're doing as well, and ask them, you know, if it's possible to do certain events in Muharram or wherever under the banner of an Islamic society, if that may not be feasible or possible for any reason, then you can look into maybe helping your brothers and sisters forming an Islam Ahlul Bayt society. It just needs a group of individuals. It doesn't have to be a big group. It could be just a couple of people, 2-3 people, who just have an idea and say, right, let's run with this idea. And then it can pick up momentum. Like, it just takes a couple of people, and then the idea gets going. And then it picks up, and it, because, you know, it just goes better. You didn't expect it to go such places, and it does.
Did you face any trouble from the university or any other societies or people around? Because in a society that we live in currently, Islam is demonized.
Yeah.
And forming another Islamic society, did that not scare the university?
Well, as you know, when we approached the current Islamic society, they actually said that they weren't interested and they don't really believe in the Ahlul Bayt. So when we tried to push the idea forward to have an Ahlul Bayt society, the university actually did ask us, you know, you already have an Islamic society. What's so different about what you're offering? So we had to explain to them what the Ahlul Bayt are and etc. He didn't really understand it at first, to be honest. So then we had to go and we had to do like a proposal. You know, this is Islam, this is the Ahlul Bayt and the Quran and how it all links together. And then we had to give examples of other Ahlul Bayt societies. MashaAllah, there's so many across the UK at so many different universities. You know, this one, that's, for example, City University, I think King's College, etc. And just give a list, like, this is their society, this is their contact details, if you want to, the web pages or whatever they have. And, you know, even as a general, as a group, the Ahlul Bayt societies have actually got together recently, you know, and do a lot of work together. If there's any problems, we can contact one another. Okay. Under it's called the Ahlul Bayt Productions as well. So, you know, if you, they're quite helpful. They would help you set up a website, they would help you look for a speaker. So if there's any problems, they're always there to help us.
Okay, so what sort of events does the Ahlul Bayt Society hold?
We're still in our infancy, so we're still just trying to get going as in terms of events as well. But, you know, just general events that could appeal not just to Muslims, but also to non-Muslims. For example, we had one about who are the Ahlul Bayt, which was our first event. Then we had one about Islam and how knowledge and akhlaq can be used at university. Because as you know, in a university platform, where you're a Muslim, everyone's looking at you. And when they look at you, they look at, this is how Islam is. So we had one on that. So someone who doesn't know a lot about Islam or who is a Muslim at university, you know, Brother Jaffa gave a really good lecture on that, Brother Jaffa Ladek from Milton Keynes. And then we had one about women in Islam to clear up certain misconceptions as well regarding that. So we also do other things, like we had a stall recently in the problems that we had in Palestine. A group of brothers got together with certain charities and we had a stall outside the student union where we were helping to raise cash for the charity and, you know, all kinds of things like that.
Excellent. Brother Mazahir, What is the Bethel Society doing currently?
The Bethel Society, alhamdulillah, we're very active in many different projects. Coming up very soon, we're looking towards Ramzan. First of all, we're doing a charity appeal which we carry out every year in collaboration with the British Red Cross, where we collect sort of household goods and dry food, which we collect over the month of Ramadan, and then we donate that to people at the homeless shelter. That's one of the things which we try to carry out every year, and it's known as the Imam Ali Appeal. As well as that, in Ramzan, last year we began a special sort of Ramzan radio show, which was broadcast live online every sort of weekend in Ramadan. And we was reaching audiences far and wide, and we've been building up on that with guest speakers and different sort of topics we speak about, and different, we're using, sort of playing with different ways of reaching our youths and the communities, because normally in the evenings people are normally sitting on the internet, you know, chatting and stuff, so they get to go onto our website, listen to this radio show and interact with us from home. As well as that, we've also organized a camp just before Ramadan, which will be staying over at night with two special guest speakers as well, who'll be speaking to the youth about various different topics, and then followed by a social event the following day. So I mean, we're keeping pretty active with what we're doing, and that's just for our, for the next month. These are our plans. But you know, in the past we've had sort of different events, a large conference about Imam Mehdi, which was on his birthday last year, which was a huge success, and it's been carrying on like that. Basically, we've done many different events on different topics which people tend to want to know more about.
Okay, so a key part of any event that an organization or a group does is feedback from the people who attend, feedback from the community. How do you gauge the response of the people?
Well, basically, I mean, the most effective one is when people actually approach me or approach anyone else in the committee personally and tell us, give us feedback sort of in person that, you know, I really enjoyed this, I wish you could do more of this in future. Then we can take that feedback on board, and we'll see, okay, last time this was a huge success, maybe we should do something else like that. As well as that, we have our website, which people sort of send us feedback through the internet, you know, based on events. In the past, we have handed out feedback forms as well, which everyone should fill in at the end of the event, whatever event we have at the time. And we take that on board and see what people enjoy, what they didn't like. And, you know, we also leave a space for them to leave comments about what could we have done differently, or anything along those lines. So that's how we gauge feedback from these people in order to better ourselves for the next time. And but the most effective one is when people approach us personally and give us their opinion directly. And that seems to work very well, because we do get quite a few people talking to us like that. So,
okay. Now, as slightly elder youths of the community, how are you trying to involve the younger members? I know, bring them to your events, and also, are you aiming to train them up to take over from you?
Yeah, well, I mean, we're leading by example for the youngers, for the younger people of our community. The events we do appeal to people of all ages, not just young people, it's not just youths, but alhamdulillah, we're getting support from the elders, as mentioned earlier. But we sort of have a balance between, you know, the sort of things we do, like, for example, the social events, we mix that in with sort of educational aspects as well. Earlier on in the year, we used to have a sort of weekend social club where we'd have games and stuff. And then as well as that, we'd have a special guest in at the time to talk to the younger, really younger people, which was aged between sort of 6 through to 14, 15. So we used to reach out to them that way, by bringing them in with what interests them and sort of educating them as well at the same time. Okay. As well as that, on the radio, which has proven to be popular with the younger people, they ring us up to recite nasheeds, or, you know, just say hello and things like that. And it keeps them, it's nice to see that the younger people are liking to get involved with us, and we are very approachable towards these, to the younger people as well. So they feel comfortable around us.
Okay. Brother Muhammad,
yeah,
ABSOC and Freshers Week,
right? Yeah,
and attracting the new freshers.
Yeah,
could you tell us more about that? And advice for new Ahlul Bayt societies that are starting up, on how to capture the people?
Freshers Week is an important week because, you know, when everyone's some new to the university, they come and they're trying to fit in, trying to settle down, see what's happening, what's going on around the uni and everything. So we have a stall on the Freshers Week. We have volunteers. We hand out leaflets. The leaflets that we make tell us about who are the Ahlul Bayt, Islam, the Quran, what our aims and objectives are. And we hand those out. We give out some books for free, Islamic literature, to people who are interested. Sometimes we charge just a minimal fee of £1 as well for certain books, and give out things like that, books, leaflets, answer any questions that anybody may have. And what we also do, we have like a little book. We just take whoever's interested. We just take their details down, their name, their email, and then we make a list of contacts that we have. And then every time we have like an event that's coming up, we would then just email that group and just make them aware, okay, this is what's happening, this day, this time, this room, anybody interested, contact such and such person who would be organizing it, and just get through them like that.
Yeah. Now, sometimes when one organizes an event, mm-hmm. it seems that, you know, the numbers of people that attend seem to dwindle each time.
Yeah.
How do you guys cope with that, and, you know, what is the solution to that? Brother Mazahir.
Well, basically, I mean, we try to keep people interested by, you know, offering them interesting topics, for example, and having different speakers, because in the past we've had feedback that people like to hear from different speakers. So we've managed to call, alhamdulillah, people from all around the world, really. And sometimes the crowds tend to drop, but the attitude we have is that it's all worthwhile, because even if one person takes something away from that event, then that's been a success for us. So that's the sort of attitude we take towards this. But then we take active part in promoting our events, as well as we can, contacting different jamaats as well, different youth groups, advertising by different means, Facebook, internet, websites. So we do our best to promote our events the best we can.
Yeah, just adding to what he's saying, really, you just try your best as an individual, as a group. You just try your best, as long as you know what you're doing is to the best of your ability.
So I guess, you know, even if one person is helped from that event, it makes the whole event.
It does,
worthwhile.
Yeah.
Exactly. If one person goes home and they even think about what they've heard today and they take something positive from that, then it's all worthwhile.
It's like any event, even like when you go to the mosque, majalis, you know, even I'm sure some Molanas will tell you, even if just like a one or two people can, you know, benefit from it, then it's made it worthwhile.
Sometimes what happens, I mean, this is a question that we brought up a couple of weeks ago with our guest. What happens is, in youth groups, the actual aim of the youth group is forgotten, mm-hmm. and, you know, the event becomes the focus of the group. How do you counteract that? How do you stop the event from becoming the focus and you getting annoyed that no one's turned up to your event? And, you know, sometimes people in the process actually forget why they set up that youth committee. How would you counteract that?
Well, basically, I mean, that's going back to what I said previously, is that, you know, we, with the attitude we have to approach this, is even if the one person takes something away, then it's worthwhile. So even if there's a crowd of one or 100, I mean, it's not the numbers that counts, because I mean, we've organized this event to benefit the people that attend. So it's not about, okay, we've got a certain speaker that's come and I want a crowd of 10, about 100 people in there, but there's only 10. You know, it doesn't matter about the size or the amount of the crowd, because as long as they're benefiting from that, then it's fine.
Just to add to what he's saying, for example, when we did the Behlul Radio, when we first started off with the Ramzan radio, it was just an idea that, you know, let's do a radio show in Ramzan just before iftar time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we just started off, a few of us, and then, you know, we got good feedback. A couple of people listened, and then they would tell their friends that, look, you know, it's okay, listen to it. And then it gathered pace. More and more people started listening to it. More and more people started getting involved. And then by the time Ramadan finished, I think we actually had people asking us, you know, is that it now?
Yeah, when's the next one?
When's the next one? Well, it's Ramzan, it was called Behlul Ramzan Radio. And then obviously after that, we said, okay, we can do one. Is it every month? And then two every month, and then we kept on going like that.
I think you threw in the element of surprise when you had a mystic mechanic or something.
Yeah, we like to add sort of character to the program. It's not all just full-on sort of seriousness. Yeah. It's like we're interacting with the people. We're offering them, like, you know, fun and entertainment as well as educating them at the same time.
So that
keeps a lot of their interest, doesn't it? So
it's like, you know, in Top Gear they have the Stig. Like our radio show has the mystic mechanic. But the good thing about, I can say about the Behlul Radio is that it's an online radio. So it's not like, you know, the radio that you listen to whilst you're driving to work. It's online. So there's a screen there, isn't it? When you go on the website and you're just listening. And then when we have like a competition or something, we'll like show a picture of a mosque for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And the competition will be like, okay, the first person who calls us in, and they have to call us, they can't text us. They have to call us and tell us, okay, where is this mosque? So for 5 seconds, we'll leave the picture on their screen because it's an internet-based radio. And then we'll take it off. And then the first person to call us in and say, okay, this mosque is Al-Aqsa in Palestine, for example.
Yeah.
If they guess right, then they've won a prize, and the prizes are... They're various prizes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. Right, moving again back to the events and the involvement within events. Generally, we find that organizations that work for the youth are male-dominated, and our sisters tend to be sidelined. Although we find that female involvement is increasing, but it's still not, you know, what it could be. How are you, as the Behlul Society, addressing this issue?
Well, we're constantly, you know, encouraging our sisters to get involved. I mean, it's very important to have a female sort of side of the youth group. And we're constantly advertising and, you know, we're organising events which are joint. So, I mean, it's not just for the brothers. For example, any sort of event we organise with a guest speaker is open for both brothers and sisters. So, you know, everyone can take something away from it. But so that's how we're sort of advertising our events, which are open for everybody. And we tend to try to cater for everybody with what we do. So, you know, so everyone can benefit from it.
It's important to have separate sister society as well, because obviously, like I was saying, with your vision, your opinion as a guy, it would be different. So maybe the girls might want to do something else, you know, have an idea and then take it their way. So it's important that, you know, you can have a sister society. It doesn't have to be huge, as long as, you know, they're willing to help each other. And also, you know, like Mazahir said, we have a lot of events that are open, like the Al-Mahdi conference, for example.
Okay.
You know.
Excellent. Well, on that note, brothers, I'd thank you for attending and accepting our invitation.
Thank you.
Inshallah, this will have inspired some of our viewers out there to get involved and maybe create their own organizations. The need for young people to step forward and start getting involved in their communities is immense. It is pleasing to see that some are stepping up and fulfilling this duty. However, there is still more need, and it still needs people to come up and help the cause. It is apparent, though, there seems to be a lack of involvement from our sisters. Compared to the brothers, their numbers are very few. This could be as a result of isolation by the males, culture, or simply apathy. Whatever the case, this needs to be addressed and this needs to be changed, as the young women of today will be the mothers of tomorrow. Lastly, today's show was a tribute to all those people out there that are putting their time and effort for the Muslim community and ultimately to help the spread of Islam. And we pray to Allah for your continued success. Please join us next week. If you have any questions, comments about this show or anything else that you would like to add, then you can email us at thenewdawn@themartyr.net. Finally, I'd like to thank our guests for attending and you, the viewers at home. This was The New Dawn. I was your host, Nabil Awan. Allah Hafiz. Ma'as-salam. Ooh.
take a moment to feel the splendor. It's what I hear, it's what I feel, it's what I see. All around me, there's hidden beauty. I wonder who could make it, could it be? But then I found it, my eyes were open. My wildest dreams became reality. So then I said, Allahu Akbar.
You feel the pain.
Allahu Akbar.
Into the rain.
Allahu Akbar.
When times are hard.
Allahu Akbar.
It's time to heal these scars.
Allahu Akbar.
So now my mind is free.
Allahu Akbar.
I see all this beauty.
Allahu Akbar.
I submit to you.
Allahu Akbar.
Won't submit to me.
In the name of the Maker, the Giver, the Taker, the one who brought the guidance, the Savior, the Truth, the Infinite, the Helper, the powerful Sustainer.
Pray for Him to keep us away from temptation, the Satan, the Shaitan, the main harm to weak individuals. Now who's getting spiritual is pitiful. That we're heedless, we're headless. Just stop this and get blessed and rest up. Final days are due, long time. It's about time we make time. Create rhymes to change minds. At least that's the premise. Like Jesus before us, He gave us the message. Taught man forgiveness and ended up vanished like the 12th of the princes, risen up high, away from the menaces, free from all blemishes. We pray to God that His chosen shall come. Ajalallah ta'ala faraja.
Allahu Akbar.
We feel the pain.
Allahu Akbar.
Enter the rain.
Allahu Akbar.
When times are hard.
Allahu Akbar.
It's time to heal these scars.
Allahu Akbar.
So now my mind is free.
Allahu Akbar.
I see all this beauty.
Allahu Akbar.
I submit to you.
Allahu Akbar.
Won't submit to me.